Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Yeah, and
it is our Mailbag Monday. You ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask us. Ask us anything. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Let's get it started on the HRMP listener line with Daryl. He's got a question for the Killer Bees. Daryl, what's your question for the Killer Bees?
Hello?
Hey, Daryl, what's buddy. Your question?
Yes. My question is, I don't understand. It'd be a 3rd and 10, and they throw a 3-yard pass. I just don't understand that. Let you your comment.
You got to take what the defense gives you, Wayne. The Texans had an abysmal day offensively. 3rd and 10. Hey, at least they didn't lose 3 yards. At least they moved it forward for 3 yards.
But during Bill O'Brien's offense for as many years as you had to get through that,
that should be surprising.
That should be the norm these days if you're a Texans fan. You should be okay with that just because of the theory of repetition. You've seen it so much.
Bill O'Brien's offense ran circles around the offense we saw yesterday at NRG Stadium. 713-780-ESPN.
Is that the player's fault or the OC?
I think you can say both.
Okay.
I think you can say both. Here's the thing with, like, I don't think Pep Hamilton's a great OC. I don't think Lovie Smith's a great defensive coordinator. It's like Bobby Fischer playing against other people at chess who are really good, and he's only playing with pawns.
Yeah.
Bobby Fischer ain't winning with only pawns.
No, I think that's why Davis Mills always blames it on the system or tries to, like, you know, throw it to the side and point the fingers other ways. Bro, we see the tape. We watch the games. We know who it is. No matter what the play is called, you're not executing.
Mailbag Monday, your questions for the Killer Bees, 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line for Ryan. Ryan, what's your question for the Killer Bees?
Buddy, so what was the deal with, I don't know if y'all talked about this already, but what was the deal when Pena threw that ball underneath whenever Altuve was sitting down? Thanks.
I think that Pena felt his only play was at second base there. He didn't think
Absolutely
that he could kind of turn crossbody, throw the runner out at first base. The only play that Pena thought, and maybe Pena was wrong, I don't think he was to go to second base. Altuve thought that Pena was going to go to first, didn't hustle over the bag. He was ducking, getting out of the way of what was going to be, he thought, a potential throw to first base. Altuve needed to be at the bag there. Just kind of bad awareness / communication.
Call it a miscommunication. Call it, you know, you could put more of it on Altuve because Pena made a heck of a play to get to the ball. And you're just expecting your second baseman is going to give you maybe your only opportunity to get bailed out. And he was thinking something different. They weren't on the same page. Yeah. And that's why that happened.
That might be the better way to describe it. The same page than communication. Because you're really not going to talk in that moment. It's more of a feel play.
Yep.
I think that the reason it was so far from the bag, too, and you could kind of see this in the replay, is that Pena, like, as soon as he went there, he's like, oh, had that moment, and that's why it was kind of
like he can't contort his body no matter how hard he tries, and with the runner, you're probably not going to get him, but I do have an outside chance of getting the guy at second base.
Yeah, I think he could have if Altuve ran to the bag there. 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line, your question for the Killer Bees. 4622 always text us this, so we just got to, like, give him one. Should the Texans call Vince Young?
For what? He was at the baseball game.
He would sell more tickets, I promise you that.
Dre and Clarence got pictures with him at Cobos Q. He was going to the Astros game.
I had a buddy who went to Cobos after game 2 and said he had an incredible time.
Oh,
it was lit. He loved it. I don't know if he should be using that word, but he also said he met Ben Verlander and talked to him for 20 minutes. I said he's a big fan of the Killer Bees.
He is, until he gets paid to go elsewhere. You know, Cobos is always the place to be, and it's the perfect setting and location if you can't get in the doors of the stadium. But yeah, everybody's going to Cobos and having a good time, and Vince Young was there.
713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. We'll actually keep it internal. We'll go to the text line instead. 9227, can you really say unwatchable and unacceptable concurrently with embrace the suck? We didn't say unacceptable. You can say unwatchable. Yeah. I would say that actually works together because the unwatchable hints that it's a bad organization, that it's a bad product on the field, or a team that's not going to win many games. Yeah, that kind of is embrace the suck.
Indeed. I mean, I looked at this and I was like, I don't understand how this can be even an issue. We warned you all season long that it was going to be tough to watch. We told you to embrace the suck. We didn't do it to hurt your feelings and try to feel like we're stabbing you in the back and pulling the wool over your eyes. just understand, hopefully it's short-term, not long-term, if they play their cards right.
713-780-ESPN, Mailbag Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 713-780-3776. Jordan says, you may have answered this already today, but my question to the Killer Bees is, gun to your head, do you re-sign Verlander if he wants to re-sign, or do you invest in other pieces? What say you?
Look, there's no denying what he did in the regular season. He's going to win the Cy Young for it, and he was fantastic. But I think that, you know what, this has been a dose of reality for a lot of people to think about the alternative of a season without Justin Verlander. I think that if he decides, which I don't know that he'll ever even consider, but if he decides, hey, look, they did me a solid and paid me for 2 years when I didn't pitch, and I didn't exactly light the world on fire in the playoffs, I won't opt out. I'll take the 25, and I think that market value, he's worth that. But if he wants to push the envelope and he wants that 43, and I would be okay in understanding if they can't come to a common ground and they feel like that's too expensive and they want to move on.
Look, we've talked about this a lot.
Yep.
If we just assume Justin Verlander signs for $35 million, I'd rather use that $35 million on two bats. I think it makes the Astros a better overall team going forward. They already, even without Verlander, I think they had the best starting rotation in baseball with Fromber, with Lance, with Javier, with Urquidy, with who am I
Hunter
missing
Brown.
Here? Hunter Brown, I'm missing somebody else. Maybe Garcia. I think Garcia is the one I didn't mention.
Garcia, yeah.
So you have six starters there that are still very, very good, even without Justin Verlander. Astros went to the World Series last year without Verlander. 2 years ago, they went to the ALCS without Verlander. Verlander, when he gets to the playoffs, hadn't been great, been even worse when he gets to the World Series. So I am more spend the money elsewhere. That said, if they re-sign Justin Verlander, I'm not going to be mad about it. I would rather spend it elsewhere, but I'm not going to be angry if they lock up the reigning Cy Young in a Hall of Fame.
Years and money matters, but you know it's hard to argue with the fact that you can't win a World Series unless you get there. In order to get there, you got to have a guy that's a horse in the regular season and can be your ace. He's been all that, so he's lived up to those expectations. So I think you just kind of temper your expectations if he wants 43, but also understand that if you can work something out, he's worth having on your squad.
To me, there's not a wrong answer there. The only thing that you could do wrong is you let him walk and then you don't spend that money on the
bats. You got to get a first baseman. You got to get, you know, whatever you do with your outfield. You've got to spend some money to get a couple extra players, knowing how good your rest of your pitching staff still is.
713-780-ESPN, Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. Jordan says, question for the Bees, if today gets postponed, do you give the ball to JV for game four on normal rest or stick with Christian Javier?
I've personally thought Javier should be the game three starter, but I think that Lance is a big game guy. I think the one thing that bothered me the most, even more so than if Lance is pitching game three, is I thought it was going to be cold and it was going to be rainy, and we saw what happened at Yankee Stadium. And I don't like a guy that's had the issues with his arm in the past to also have to deal with and relies on the breaking pitch as much as he does to be in that environment. But I mean, if that's the rotation you're going with, then if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just go with it, because those guys are all capable of pushing for you.
I keep the status quo. Yeah. I'm not moving it around. Like, even if you move it around, you're still making two starts in the World Series. Even if Justin Verlander goes in game four of what would now be a shrunk down World Series, you're still finishing game seven when you're finishing game seven. So Verlander's still going to go twice. I don't want to do that to Javier. So I keep Javier game four, keep Justin Verlander game five. I'm not switching up the rotation, even if today gets banged. Ocho on the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Are you concerned that the Astros haven't scored on the Phillies bullpen?
Am I concerned about that?
Correct.
No. I mean, I think when you look at what the Phillies bullpen was doing in game one, I already said I thought that the Astros hitters already had relaxed, thinking they had the game up five by five runs. I think that the Phillies bullpen, it's not bad. It's above average. But no bullpen scares me for this Houston Astros team if they're hitting. So, no, I'm not concerned.
I think it's a fair concern to have. The Phillies have really good high leverage relievers. We saw most of them in game one. Alvarado, who they were aggressive to bring in. Dominguez, who's really nasty. And Robertson, who's been really good, too, in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's concerning. Today, if they play, is supposed to be a bit of a bullpen game. So if they're going to get to the bullpen, today's the day to do it. The one thing that's not a concern, you built leads on these starters. You get out to early leads on the starters, it doesn't put more like pressure, stress to get to that bullpen. But look, Phillies have a good pen. You'd like to see them get to them at some point in the series, beat them at least once.
If you're getting to their pen, chances are their starters aren't doing as good as you would like. I think the bigger concern for the series from a Phillies perspective is what Wheeler is going to be left for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah.
He did not look great.
713-780-ESPN. 7032. Can all fans nationwide forget dreaming of the next late-round quarterback being the next Tom Brady? No, they can't. They'll never, ever stop dreaming about that. That's what fans do. That's why people looked at Davis Mills and thought, you know what? He can be Kirk Cousins. You know what? He can be a top 15 quarterback that if you build a really good team around him, you can win in the NFL. Fans will always dream.
Fans will be fans. They will, you know, ifs, buts, candies, nuts, and hope for the next miracle in a draft pick. But those days are pretty much once in a lifetime. We've seen it happen. I don't think we're going to see it anytime soon. Look, Malik Willis didn't exactly set the world on fire in his first start, so I don't think there's indication that's going to happen anytime again.
Is Chaz your center fielder of the future, 3941?
No, he's not. He's not your center fielder of the future.
Well, that's the only position he would be the future. His bat's not going to play in the corner.
He's your fourth outfielder of your team next year if it goes as planned, if you add to your lineup.
I think he's your starting center fielder next year.
He could be, depending on Jake Myers. I mean, and depending on who's the general manager. Because we know James Click has said that Jake Myers is your center fielder of the future.
Yeah.
But if you get a new general manager that has a different mindset, then long term, it's not Jake Myers. And short term, I totally agree with you, especially with what they've done this year. Chaz should start the year in center field.
If they spend the money on the bats, I think that they go first baseman, corner outfielder /DH, and that you have a spring training battle between Chaz and Jake as the starting center fielder.
That's fair.
So I'm not going to rule out that Chaz is the starter next year.
But now, if Brantley comes back, do you not look at a center fielder?
No.
Money?
Well, I mean, Brantley's going to cost money.
But I don't think he's going to cost that much.
He might cost $10 million.
$10 million, yeah.
That's not cheap.
There's going to be guys that want to play for this team.
Yeah. I think Chaz is your center fielder next year. Future center fielder, I wouldn't go that far. 713-780-ESPN. That does it for our Mailbag Monday. Always very fun. Monday at 2. All right, game 3 maybe tonight? We don't know. Weather in Philly, kind of hairy. Wish they had a roof, huh? How do you feel about the game 3 matchup? Noah Syndergaard, Lance McCullers. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, what do we think of the Game 3 matchup? Noah Syndergaard gets the start for the Phils. Lance McCullers goes again in Game 3, so the Astros really haven't had their mind made up on their Game 3 starter. They've been rotating them. Against Seattle, it was Lance. Against the Yankees, it was Javier. Against the Phillies tonight, it is Lance McCullers. What do you think of this matchup? Let's go Game 3 starter first. Mm-hmm. Going with Lance instead of Javier. Thoughts on that first?
To me, I've already spoken my piece on the fact that I thought it should be Javier. I thought that's what you did against the Yankees. And it worked, and I would have done it again. Of what I saw of the weather, and I'm not watching it every 5 minutes like you are.
Yeah,
but with the temperature and the moisture, this was the one day where weather could be a concern. I didn't like that for a guy that's had issues with his arm in the past and also didn't throw great with the weather being an issue in New York. So I was more of the mindset that Javier gets your game 3, McCullers gets your game 4. But with that being said, McCullers is a gamer. He's a big time pitcher. He loves this kind of stuff. He steps up big, and I have total confidence in him. So I was fine with it. From a Syndergaard perspective, I was surprised. I thought Ranger Suarez was the guy that, you know, they believed was going to be their 3 all along. I believe they used him in a game for an inning because that was like his side session, and that he was going to be game 3. Syndergaard's a guy that the Astros are familiar with. He's had some success early in the season against the Astros. He's also had his failures. He's not stretched out. He's not going to give you 80 to 100 pitches. But if that's the way they choose to go with it, it's surprising, but we'll see what happens.
The rain, by the way, cloudy with periods of rain tonight. Low of 59, which temperature-wise not crazy. The wind's not crazy either. Winds are like 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain's 100%. Like, rain's going to fall in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. That's not, I mean, light rain, whatever. Rainfall around 0.5 inch. So, again, MLB and the teams are meeting in about 15 minutes. We'll see if anything comes out of it. We probably won't know the news for like an hour, though. Tomorrow, sunny.
It'll
Thursday, sunny.
That's why I
Friday, said. Partly cloudy.
So when I saw that, I thought those were perfect days for Lance McCullers.
It kind of, well, I guess Friday doesn't matter. Friday would be played in Houston. Friday would be game six, Saturday game seven. But Tuesday, tomorrow, like there's AM showers, but it gets out of the way. So it's going to be fine tomorrow night. And then Wednesday and Thursday are going to be sunny. So it kind of makes sense if they do postpone the game tonight. As far as the game three starter, first from an Astros perspective, I love Christian Javier. I probably lean Christian Javier there too. Why it matters so much between game three, game four, because if the series goes seven games or doesn't go seven games, it doesn't matter.
Right. Like
both of them are making one start, but it matters a lot that you have the option to go with a game seven starter because of whoever pitches game three. I think the Astros made the Lance McCullers move for two reasons. One, part of that, like Lance McCullers has pitched in game seven of the World Series before. They like the idea of Lance having the ball in a game seven, so you flip-flop him there. And then secondly, too, Javier, his best pitch is his fastball. I know he's got a really good slider, too, but his best pitch is his fastball. Lives or dies on that fastball. Lance McCullers is the opposite. Lives and dies with his slider, lives and dies with his curveball. This Phillies offense hits fastballs better than it hits breaking
ball
balls,
might be
and
one
I think
of the
that,
only
that
guys
was the that, reason that they went with Lance McCullers.
Baum might be the only guy that really hits a breaking ball better.
He's just such a good contact hitter, Baum is.
Yeah, but and so is Segura. But Segura, I mean, look.
He doesn't scare you with his power.
No, he's just a contact guy. But overall, their big boppers are all guys that live and die on the fastball. So I understand Lance's ability to be effective with his breaking pitches, but I'd like it in the most ideal conditions for him. And that's why I was, that factored in as well for him in going to a game on a day where the weather looked good.
The conditions, I don't love Lance McCullers in conditions games. Lance McCullers has kind of been notorious as somebody that needs optimal conditions to pitch well and not complain about it, too.
Yep.
So I don't love that aspect of it. As far as Lance McCullers this year against Philadelphia, he made the one start. He lost that game, but that was the Nola game. He went six innings, gave up one run, struck out six. The one run was the solo homer to Schwarber. And then they got to the bullpen late. They got to Urquidy. They got to Maton. You're probably not going to see Urquidy. We know that you won't
see
Maton.
We haven't even seen him in the dugout.
Really?
I haven't seen him in the dugout once.
I think I did. I think I saw
him. I saw the Motley Crue backup singers, but I didn't before that I don't know, but I didn't see Phil Maton.
I saw Maton once, but I don't remember what game, and I don't know if I saw him more than once.
Okay.
Do you take that start from McCullers tonight?
Oh,
I mean, it seems like a no-brainer, right? One run, six innings.
Yes.
That'd be a slam dunk, no doubt about it. Syndergaard, on the other hand, he's pitched twice this year against Houston. One of the starts was very, very good.
That was in Anaheim in the first series of the year, I believe.
Yeah, April 9th. Nico Goodrum was hitting third that day for the Houston Astros. Goodness. That's how long ago it was. And then he had a bad start against the Astros a little bit later in the summer. He pitched July 12th and went four innings, gave up three runs. Lemus Diaz actually homered off of him, by the way. Maybe something that Dusty Baker might be thinking about. He hasn't pitched as well since being traded to Philadelphia. His ERA has climbed since he went to Philly as opposed to the Angels. And the thing with Syndergaard, the last time that he was really extended was October 1st. He hasn't thrown more than 35 pitches since October 1st. And Rob Thompson even talked about this like openly to the media. He says three innings, if we get four, that would be great for Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, look, and the thing is, it's one thing to say, I remember the name to me, Noah Syndergaard, synonymous with like a Jacob deGrom and those two guys when they were coming up with the Mets, Thor and that dominance and the way he pitched. He had Tommy John surgery. He's not that same type of pitcher. He's not that big, overpowering pitcher that he once was. Still has a fastball, but the Astros are good with fastballs. So the fact that he's not stretched out to go more than 40 or 45, 50 pitches, and the fact that he doesn't have the kind of overpowering stuff that he once had, he does not scare me in the least, and I'll take that over the young kid, Ranger Suarez, who basically after one game, he gave out three bombs against the Astros.
Yeah.
But he came in relief. He looks like he's got a little confidence. I would rather face Syndergaard than I would Ranger Suarez in game three.
Ranger, in my mind, is a better pitcher. Ranger's a better pitcher. Now, him going in game four is kind of interesting because you wouldn't be able to bounce him back to until if he pitches in a game seven, he's pitching on short rest, which I never really loved that. Somebody texting into the text line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I'll get to it in a second. Look like you had something to say.
Yeah, I'm just curious, going back a little bit to earlier about Javier versus Lance McCullers, if you guys think there's any aspect of preferring Javier out of the bullpen. Because if you know he's not starting a second game, I don't know when he becomes available out of the bullpen. But I think if you know he's not starting a second game, that becomes part of the picture.
It depends on how many pitches he throws and what kind of situations he's in. If he gets a coasting easy start, I think Dusty might be more apt to pull him quicker than usual for the fact that you could probably bounce him back if you needed someone.
I wouldn't. You got to get the win. If he's cruising, you ride him.
I think pitch count's going to matter regardless, too, because he's going to try and figure out, you know, if you got a big lead, then I think that he's basically not going to pitch more than he has to.
I wouldn't do that.
I'm not saying.
I understand the thinking there, like the ability to have him available in a game seven. To Brendan's point, Javier is more capable of coming back on short rest, giving you a couple of innings out of the bullpen than Lance McCullers is, which game four starter would be pitching on short rest in a game seven if the schedule stays true. I don't think it should matter. Like, Christian Javier on short rest really isn't jumping anybody in your bullpen. You don't need to piggyback him. The high leverage guys are the high leverage guys. Like, Presley's still there. Like, he's not jumping Presley. Nope. He's not jumping Montero. He's not jumping Neris. He's not jumping Abreu. Maybe he jumps Ryan Stanek. But, like, I don't think that option, I agree that it exists, that option. I don't think that option really weighed much in this decision because the Astros bullpen is a strength. Yeah. If the Astros bullpen sucked and it stunk, I think that's where it would come into play.
And I'm not saying it weighed in the decision 3 and 4. I'm saying now that he is the game 4 starter, they're going to look at it with a different mentality if they think it's going to be a long series. If they think they're going to need him at some point again and he's not going to start again, they might be a little bit more hypersensitive to how many pitches he throws.
We're talking about potentially 5 straight games now if they're off.
Yeah.
So you can say that he doesn't jump anybody, but you don't know what it's going to take out of the pen to get to game 7.
Sure, sure. I think it's more of a luxury, though. You're not making that decision because of that reason, but it does enter into the conversation.
It does, and is it also not safe to say that Dusty's not going to pull a Rob Thompson? He's not going to go and empty out his high-leverage guys in the fourth, fifth, or sixth type innings in some of these games the way Thompson would.
I don't think he's scared going to Abreu in the fifth or the fourth.
But I don't think he would go and like go to multiple guys like Thompson did, where he just kept going to his best, and then take your chances.
Seems,
I think Dusty's more the guy that looks for an effective innings eater before he goes high leverage guy.
Ooh, man, the World Series games are so important that it's tough to go innings eater if you're up 2 runs.
It's just the way Dusty's thought all year. Now, Abreu's now into the
picture.
Well, he
hasn't thought that way in the playoffs. He's used Montero to go up-down. He's used him for more than an inning. He's used Abreu more than an inning.
I thought he should have done it in game 2. He sat a lot of guys down where I thought he might bring them back out. But, I think that Dusty's not the same kind of guy as Thompson. I don't think he's going to bring in – like, you're not going to bring in your Ryan Presley or your Neris those guys early like Thompson did.
But you have so many high-leverage guys that you can eat up 4 innings just by using Abreu, Neris, Montero, and Presley. That gets you to the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. And if you want to throw Stanek in there, all you have to do is go 4.
I would like to know what's going on with him.
People have asked about that. I don't think that they love his command more than anything else.
But in the playoffs, he's been effective.
Sure, but so is everybody else.
Yeah.
It's not like Neris has been terrible to where now you need to demote him and promote Stanek. There's been nobody to demote.
But the point I'm making is I believe his split finger is a better strikeout pitch than anything, take the fastballs out of it, than Montero's secondary pitches.
Probably, but they feel like Montero has a better chance to get people out and not get in trouble.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Brendan brought up the point about rain in the forecast. We've been talking about it all night in Philadelphia. Is it in the best interest of the Astros to postpone it before first pitch? Is it in the best interest of the Astros to not play tonight? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Pretty big trade in the NFL. Roquan Smith has been traded to the Bears. From the Bears to the Baltimore Ravens, 2nd and a 5th, going to Chicago. Trade deadline's tomorrow in the NFL. Does a Texan get traded? We'll see.
They should.
I don't think Brandon Cooks can get traded. I think him playing yesterday is a big tell that he's not. I feel like if Casario thought he's going to get traded, that they wouldn't have played him yesterday, that they would have held him out.
Maybe they're showcasing him.
Does Brandon Cooks need to be showcased?
The final drive at least showed he's still on the field capable of catching football.
Yeah. See, I don't think Brandon Cooks
He didn't catch a whole lot so far. He dropped
right.
a lot.
I mean, I think Brandon Cooks is Brandon Cooks at this stage of his career. Now he's having a bad year. So that he played a little bit better. I don't know how much that really moves the needle. You want him to trade Laremy Tunsil. I'm not on the Tunsil side of things. Like, Unless you're getting a first rounder, I'm anti-trading Laremy Tunsil.
I mean, the market and the competition for who wants him might dictate that, but I just believe that at a certain point you cut bait with those that they have done in the past in terms of don't fit their culture. He doesn't want to be there.
But what is their culture? They got rid of Easterby. They got rid of their culture guy. They got rid of the CEO.
Well, but overall, if he's a guy that just doesn't want to be there.
I don't believe that, though. I don't believe that this year. I think this year has changed my opinion on that. Like, he bought in, right? He's played every single game. And the dude, like, has been really good this year and is chasing down guys that intercept passes, hustling, trying to knock them down on the sideline. Like, the effort's there this year for Laremy Tunsil.
And, you know, that's fine if you think that. I think that that's a guy that wants his check. And he wants his cake and eat it too. He wants his check and he wants to win when they don't have any chance of winning. But I think that there are plenty of professionals that know when they sign a contract that they have to live up to their part of the bargain.
He has
this
year. He's playing really well.
He's
really
played well, and then he's also had some moments. But I believe overall he's not going to be in their big picture long term. And if you can get something for him, you've already seen enough of Davis Mills to where you know basically what he is or isn't. That you need a left tackle like that for the rest of the season. If you can get value for him before he just walks out the door one day and you can move on from him, I'm fine with that.
Left tackles last forever in the NFL. Like, Andrew Whitworth played to what, 40 years old? Laremy Tunsil, like, committed back to the Houston Texans this past offseason and was pretty good. I mean, and the effort has been there. He's been on the field a lot. He's been playing at a very, very high level. So unless I get a first rounder for him, I'm not trading a really, really high level left tackle for a third. And on top of that, if you're in the, like, with the mindset that you should draft a quarterback in this upcoming draft, you know what I don't want to do to that franchise quarterback, that rookie quarterback, is play behind a line that he doesn't trust. Like, all of a sudden, you need a left tackle again. You worry that the blind side of your franchise rookie quarterback isn't going to have protection.
You can draft one in the first round. You can draft one in the second round.
But you already have a first-round caliber left tackle. Now you're wasting a first-round draft pick on another left tackle to replace Laremy Tunsil.
I talked to Lance about this a few weeks ago. He firmly believes that they're going to be looking at probably at left tackle in the draft because of the
Tunsil.
Fact that they're looking for a long-term guy. They don't know how many more years Laremy Tunsil is going to play. Again, he's gotten a lot of money. At a certain point, players want to win. I don't know if he's going to be in it for the long haul. Last year, you had to bribe him to get back on the practice field and play with a thumb injury. So,
you can make the case, though, that him not playing last year was in the best interest, though. Like, your team is terrible. Like, you probably could have been back on the field, but what's the point?
Yeah, I think that we obviously disagree. That's fine. I just think that you're looking for a younger guy that fits into the overall makeup of your roster while this franchise quarterback, if you do draft him, continues to progress and get better. And I think that overall, fine, if you don't trade him and he stays for another year or so, he's still not in the long-term plans, and you're going to take another tackle at some point anyway so that you do have more of that core group, like the Rockets did, continue to build with guys similar in age, similar in upside.
What's old, though, for a left tackle?
It's not about just the – it's to me, it's more – age is a number in this. It's also just like his mentality and the way – you know, what he wants to do with the rest of his career – and the fact that we've seen effort be affected by outcomes
not this
in
year.
Games.
Okay. Not this year.
Okay, that's your opinion.
Tell me where it's happened.
I've seen him in the Colts game and other games where he just completely crapped on plays and let his quarterback get crushed, too.
I mean,
you're not going to win every snap. Okay, all right. Well, then I'm referring to the fact that I think there are times when he just basically can mail it in. So whether he's here long-term or not, fine. If we disagree. Whether you think it's time to trade him right now or not, we disagree. I think that they will look to get a left tackle for the future for the long haul. I don't believe he is that guy. I believe that because they were trying to evaluate Davis Mills, they had to keep a guy that could keep him clean as much as possible so they could see who he could really
be at
quarterback.
That's going to disappear with a franchise quarterback?
He also gave an additional year to a Brandon Cooks that he shouldn't have done. I'm not saying that the Texans have done everything perfectly, but I think that Laremy Tunsil's not a guy that I see in the long-term future, that if you can get something for him before he just walks out the door,
what
you
is
do.
What's the least you would trade Tunsil for?
I mean, if someone's willing to give you a second or a third, sure, I'd move on from him.
The biggest fear that I have, like if it's a third for Laremy Tunsil, now you don't have a left tackle. Like, you don't have a really good left tackle. I think Laremy Tunsil is a top five left tackle in the league. So you're trading that for a third, and then you immediately have to use probably a first, if not a first, a second rounder to replace him, and it's not going to be very good right away. Like, best case scenario, he turns into Laremy Tunsil in 3 or 4 years. And if you have a franchise quarterback, That's dangerous. We saw it with David Carr. David Carr got killed behind a bad offensive line. And I think that tackles last a long time in the NFL. And he is playing at the high level. If I get a first, I do it. Anything less than a first, Laremy Tunsil's a Texan. I'm actually looking for Laremy Tunsil long term. Like, if you keep him here until he's 35, that's 7 years from now. That's seven more years as a Houston Texan.
We'll see if he's here 7 more years.
Yeah.
Until he's 35.
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Still haven't heard anything about the game tonight. We've been refreshing the weather.com. We've been looking at this whole thing. If it gets postponed today, obviously all of it, you have to turn that game five into the travel day on Thursday. You'd be playing five games in 5 days after two off days. Who do you think would be the biggest? Who do you think would get the biggest benefit to?
Say that again.
Who do you think would get the biggest benefit to if they don't play today?
I think the Phillies. I think because the Phillies only have two legitimate guys that they really think are top of the line starting type pitchers. I think that they're going to try and find something in Syndergaard, but they've already admitted he's not going to go a long time. I think Ranger, as good as he can be, I don't think that there's a guy that you would look at and put fear in the other team's eyes and think that he's a guy that can be a horse for you. So I think that they're trying to recycle the guys that they already have to try and be in as many games competitively from a starting pitching perspective that they can, whereas with the depth that the Astros have at starting pitching, I don't think it changes anything for them. And like we said, there's a surplus of starters, there's a surplus of relievers. I don't think that bothers them at all.
The depth is why I go Astros being the biggest benefactor of another game getting postponed. You would all of a sudden have to play five games potentially in 5 days if the series goes seven. So instead of having game three tonight, be game three Tuesday, game four Wednesday, game five Tuesday, game six Friday, game seven Saturday. You compress five games in 5 days. To me, it benefits the team that has the depth. And the Astros have the depth both in the starting rotation and in the bullpen. Phillies top three, four dudes in the pen, very, very good. They don't have the depth of the Astros. The Phillies rotation, very good with Nola and Wheeler up top, although the Astros have gotten to Nola and Wheeler. After that, it's a pretty steep fall off. For the Astros, not really as steep. You still believe in Lance McCullers. You still believe in Christian Javier. Now, do the Phillies change up their rotation to where instead of going Syndergaard today, they go Suarez in a game three tomorrow, because game three tonight wouldn't happen. I still think that they probably go to Nola in that game five on Wednesday. They're not going to take him off schedule, which allows Wheeler to go in that game be five on Thursday. But I still don't see those guys bouncing back. Like, we knew going into the series, Nola was
Something's
getting
going
two
on
starts.
With Wheeler too, I think
his fastball was down. The knee's been in trouble. And they were even asking Thompson about
control
his arm.
Was all over.
Like, they can bump those guys up, right? Like, Nola, instead of going game five, is going to go game four. Wheeler, instead of going game six, can be available for game five. But if they bounce back, they're still not going to be able to start another game in the series, because even if Nola goes in game four on Wednesday, game seven's still going to be on Saturday. That's 2 days rest. Right. So what it does for Philadelphia is it might give you the option to use Nola out of the bullpen for an inning and two in a game seven on short rest. Okay, that already existed. That option was already there. The game changes, but the day doesn't. Secondly, I don't see Wheeler's going to be able to bounce back after pitching on Thursday for a potential game seven on Saturday. They could get rid of the Syndergaard start initially, but that Syndergaard start is eventually going to have to happen if the series goes deep. I think it's an advantage for the Astros, actually, if tonight gets postponed.
Look, I think from my perspective, Philly has more to gain by being able to try to recycle as much as possible their starters. But I still think the depth of the Astros is the biggest key, that they can overcome all of this. I think Philly, you're right, later in a series, but they've got to play for now. They've got to try and take advantage of it. Their hopes are this thing doesn't even have to go back to Houston if they play their cards right and if they have a chance to use those guys. But I also think the thing that I've noticed more so than anything else that I would welcome it is I don't think either starter, blew the Astros away or put any fear in their hearts. And if Wheeler's not right and you're trying to use him as much as possible, I don't see that being a forecast for more success. So I'll take my chances.
713-780-ESPN. A rainout tonight. Who does that benefit? 713-780-3776. Also, tonight's Halloween. We got kids. We know that they're going trick-or-treat. We know that we're going to be pilfering through their bags and stealing our favorite candy. What is our favorite candy? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, if you're trying to win the day every single day and you're kind of coming up short and swinging and missing when you're trying to hit home runs, you should see the people at Apollo Men's Health. Go to ApolloMH.com. See all the services they offer and the ways they could possibly help you for both men and women. It starts with hormone therapy and or B12 shots and ways you can get more energy in your life. It could also help you find ways to get into the gym and chart your results and see that you're making strides even when you don't feel like it when you're in the gym. And also, when you want to recover quicker, they have ways to help you out there, too. You need stuff for your smoothies or fat burners, they got those. And they have two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston. The way the process starts is make your first appointment by going to ApolloMH.com and booking it online. When you do, you'll find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. And then go in with an open mind and honesty in your heart as you go and answer their questions. They're going to ask you what you're trying to achieve. They're going to ask you what you've been struggling with. Then they're going to put you on a program that works, and they're going to get your results. They're good people doing great things. Go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jake from State Farm is joining us now on the Killer Bees. You can listen to Jake from State Farm every day on the Wheelhouse. Middays, 3 to 7, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
I didn't realize that till you said that, and then I saw that he was actually wearing the shirt.
Yeah. Fair take, Jake. Jake from State Farm.
Are
I
they
like
sponsoring
it.
Me now?
I like that. I like that.
They're not currently sponsoring me.
But you're hopeful.
Oh, and perhaps.
You're wearing khakis.
I'm Jake from State Farm.
I get it. Yes.
What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm?
That's why I said it, khakis. Because you're wearing khakis.
Khakis.
The old Jake, when they tried to get, they transitioned from one to the other.
Yeah, I'm actually the old Jake.
You're
from
the
State
old
Farm.
One that said, "What are you wearing, khakis?"
Who are you talking to?
Well, because the new
Jake
one
from State Farm
has a different skin color now.
Oh, really? I didn't notice.
Yeah, they went from
a
white guy to a black.
Oh,
yeah. No, not a tan. I'm the white Jake from State Farm.
So now you're the red Jake from State Farm.
I could be.
Yeah.
There's more than one Jake. That name can go both ways. I think that's fair. Jake was asking us if there's going to be baseball tonight. Looking at theweather.com. It says rain possible after 7 p.m., but here's the radar. I mean, it's the green part of the cell starts to creep in around 7:30, and then the yellow part of the cell starts to creep in at 8:09. There's a chance for a little bit of red cell, which is never very good, and then it's gone. Well, not all of it. Now you go back to a green cell around 8:51. I don't think it looks great for baseball. The weather tomorrow's fine, and then you have sunny 2 days after that.
So they're going to play the same night as the Texans then if they move it back?
Is they would. That would work? They would play on that travel day Thursday.
Yeah, I wonder what people are going to be more interested in watching that night.
Yeah, NRG had, 15,000 people at the stadium yesterday? Yeah. It'd be
I
less
mean, for anybody
Thursday.
That's more concerned with the Texans at this point than Astros World Series, like that's a no-brainer. I mean, look. Greg Maddux's brother is all over me because I said that it's advantage Phillies if they can get their top two starters back quicker.
Maddux's brother?
Yeah, that's where I'll leave it. But, you know, the fact is, like, I think the least of anybody's concern is, because, look, you're going up against Monday Night Football tonight. You're going up against Thursday Night Football. But if you are truly the World Series and your biggest series of the year, your biggest games, everybody should be watching. I mean, I understand the Eagles are looking at that as a bye week. So Eagles, Phillies fans are going to be watching the Phillies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the World Series is not going to rate well anytime it goes up against football. That's just the reality. I always push back on people saying, like, oh, well, the ratings are down. If you compare anything to football, the ratings are going to be down. Like, baseball as its own entity is doing very well if you just compare it to other sports. You compare it to football, you're going to lose that battle every time.
We had this discussion with Greg, though, because he's a Philly fan that does our network side. And he's, like, debating, should I go to the game Thursday night even if they're playing? Well, I mean, if you got tickets and it's your only chance to see the Eagles in person, you can still go to the game and watch the Phillies. You have your phone. You have TVs in the stadium. You have press room access if you're going with a press pass. You have ways of being able to say. I bet I did plenty of Rockets games in which the club right behind us had big screen TVs, and in the middle of the quietest part of an NBA game, you heard these loud, raucous cheers and roars because the Astros were scoring runs behind us. You can multitask.
There is no chance I would be going to a Texans-Eagles game during an Astro-Philly World Series.
I don't care who you were for.
Zero chance.
No way I'd go either.
Especially regular season.
If you're in a different market and that's your only chance to see your favorite football team and you're a passionate football team, I mean fan of your football team.
Passionate fan about both of them? No, absolutely not.
I think the only
absolutely
thing that makes
not.
It tough, and I'm with you, Jeremy, I wouldn't either. The one thing that makes it tough is how good the Phillies are.
That's like, exactly what I was going to say next.
The only undefeated team left.
Yeah. Well, and if you're
the Eagles,
it would matter more if they were playing a big time opponent too, to where the game mattered.
But because it's the Texans, I'm with Jeremy. No, if it was Eagles, I don't know. I don't want to say Cowboys, but sure, or Cowboys.
Well, I mean, from a Lions perspective, this is a massive game to make or break the Lions playoffs. But at the same time, the Tigers are in the World Series. You're going to the football game.
That's not totally fair. The Lions have only been in the playoffs. It's not fair. The Lions have had no success in my life.
But it's a regular season game.
Years ago,
regular season game though.
But it has playoff implications.
Eagles, Bills, no chance.
Oh, Jake's a good one though. If the Jets, his beloved Jets, are in town to play, you know, or you're going, you're in a market where the Jets are playing, say the Patriots.
I don't think
for
I would.
Chance to the playoffs.
If it's the World Series and my team is in it, I could do both at home. I have the two screens. I'm lucky to be in that situation. I wouldn't want to be at one sporting event and then taking my attention from truly being able to like enjoy the other sporting event.
The only caveat I would throw out here, the only thing that would make me consider, I'd probably do this, is if I knew I was in a suite. If I knew I was in a suite, I would go to an NRG suite, and I just wouldn't watch the football.
So if you hang out with Granato, then you would do it. And he's got suite access.
I would do that. I would do that, but I wouldn't watch the football game. Like, I am not watching a single snap. Maybe between innings, maybe during a pitching change, during a commercial, I'll go look at a 3rd and 10 and see a 3-yard play. But I'm not going to miss a pitch of the World Series game.
I've done plenty of being in a suite at Texans game and made them put the Packers on and the World Series. So,
See, that's where I think you're fine. Like, because now that's just like a watch party for the Astros more than it is you're going to a Texans game more than anything else.
And they just played tonight. Like, hopefully the rain doesn't come down too bad. They get the game in. And
it's possible, sure.
Good point.
We were talking about, like, who it would have the biggest advantage to. I personally think it's an advantage to the Astros. Now, I want to see baseball tonight. Like, I will give up whatever advantage is there, and there's no way to determine which team actually has the advantage. We can opine on it. I'd much rather just have baseball tonight, though. I want to see some baseball tonight.
I agree with you. I mean, from a selfish fan perspective, I want to see baseball tonight. I'm not, you know, obviously I want to see the Browns lose as well, but I'm completely, passionately, 100% in on the Astros, and it's a big game in the series, and I'd really like to see them play baseball. But if they don't, I get it. I still think it's advantage Astros for the depth of their pitching.
They are taking batting practice today, so take that for whatever it's worth.
Well, get in work while you can, even if you don't play the game.
We were kind of talking about that during the break, and I was like, oh, this could be a good sign. Look, they're taking BP. They didn't send them home, but you're probably getting a workout in anyways. Yeah. So I don't think you can really take...
Most guys are in the cages anyway, taking swings.
I don't think that it really matters that they're taking BP right now, either side of that argument. Today is Halloween, as you know, Jake, because you're wearing your Halloween costume.
What a day it is.
Do you have Halloween plans, or is this just for a show?
This is my plan.
Show costume?
I just planned up.
Do you end up going to a bar or a party or for Halloween? Or
probably not tonight, because I did that over the weekend. Okay. I just plan on watching the Astros later.
Mm-hmm.
But Halloween growing up was always a fun holiday.
Yeah. We were talking about...
Because even in my adult life, when I was single, Halloween was a very fun time to be out and about.
It's always a fun time to be out and about.
It's a great people-watching experience.
Yeah, and you know what? I have some comments on this that probably aren't radio-appropriate, so I'm going to shut up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
But, yeah.
Oh.
Very entertaining time of the year.
What is your favorite Halloween candy?
Ooh,
I don't think that it relates to what y'all were just talking about at all.
Well, no.
What is my favorite Halloween candy?
Yeah.
It's a great question.
You strike me as a candy corn guy.
I actually don't like candy
thank
corn.
Thank goodness.
No.
That was about to be a deal breaker.
Now, my mom likes candy corn, and growing up, I would try it a lot. It was never
Brendan,
really
was candy corn big in the Midwest to you?
Yeah, it was fairly big.
Ours, too. My grandma loved it. I can eat it, but it's a waste.
If you're
going to go get candy and you want to eat candy, that's the worst choice you can make.
I think it's a good way to put it. I can eat it, too, but it's definitely a waste of candy.
Uncle Barney loved candy corn.
Is that right?
Cannot stand it.
How was Uncle Barney?
I don't think can't stand it, but I think I could choose a million times things more.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't stand it. Like, I can't eat it. It's awful. My favorite Halloween candy, I'll go with the old faithful. A nice little Kit Kat. And again, you have like the Halloween snack pack, so it's really only like the two miniature actually break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Mm-hmm. Kit Kats are my absolute favorite. Skittles are fine. Any sour gummy is fine. But Kit Kats, I have to lean as my all-time favorite.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Those aren't bad.
And it ain't even.
I don't like peanut butter.
Not a
those
close
are
second. Oh, my.
Yeah.
I like M&M's.
Wait,
M&M's
you don't like peanut butter at all?
I didn't as a kid. Now I can like tolerate it a little bit more, but I like peanut butter cups.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably M&M's, Skittles.
Which
plain M&M's?
Or peanut.
Well, peanut I can't have because I'll die.
You have a peanut allergy.
I do. So if you ever want to kill me, now you know.
So no to the peanut M&M.
No to the peanut M&M and to the Reese's peanut butter cup. But I am a big fan of milk chocolate. So if you give me a little Hershey action or dark chocolate Hershey action.
I don't know how you do the dark.
Reese's huge on just dark chocolate until she went like completely vegan.
Yeah.
Like she is a sweetaholic and her go-to would be just straight Hershey bars.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, no, it's like so boring. There needs to be more. I'm a big caramel guy. If you get caramel and chocolate together, now you're in the mix. But just straight dark chocolate, no matter how good it tastes, it just doesn't do enough.
Yeah, I don't like the dark chocolate either. How do y'all feel about Whoppers?
Hate them.
Really? I don't mind them.
Disgusting. I don't like the malted whatever that is.
Oh, I love the malt.
A Whopper?
Yeah.
My first thought was like Burger King.
You don't know what Whoppers are? They're like malted milk balls.
Yeah, they're little chocolate balls.
Chocolate.
Yeah, exactly.
I usually just call those chocolate balls.
Do you?
Yes.
Is that the same thing as you drink on your weekends?
Let's see what you did there.
That'd be the Black Bush is what you're referring to.
Yeah, I love Whoppers. Brendan, what's your favorite? Brendan's not listening to us. He's checked out, which, I mean, part-time Brendan, that's par for the course.
Easy.
You asked what my favorite candy was?
I did.
It's Kit Kat and Reese's. Hot take that you guys are going to
Reese's
hate.
The cups or the pieces?
Oh, man, both, but I'm going to go the Reese's cups.
See, I don't like the pieces that much.
But I got to get a hot take in here that I was just telling John. I like dots.
I don't mind dots.
Oh, I think most people hate them.
I don't mind dots. But the thing with dots were always good. Only at Halloween. Only at Halloween.
No, at a movie.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah. Movies, dots at movies are good.
I'll usually never buy dots. But like if they're in the little... I also like bottle caps. A little bit of a throwback.
Oh, God,
bottle caps are not bad. I like the bottle caps.
I didn't like those a whole lot.
Bottle caps are great. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
We have a lot of Astros to get to, assuming they start on time tonight. Todd Callis will be joining us during the show. John Kincaid, who does morning radio in Philly, is going to give us the Phillies perspective on tonight's game three. So plenty of Astros, maybe some talk on how bad the Texans looked yesterday, and some NFL conversation as well.
Very good. We'll be listening. Thanks to Brendan for doing the part-time work. Hard part-time work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.